repeat.
Shall I go ahead?
Yes, if you can find it.
The heading here is How Do You Get Information? You can read that which we bring and it will get you through, but if you are driven to proof and more and more and more than I have time to outlay, you are pretty much on your own. My people can supply you with listings of books of truth as far as insight into physical workings are concerned, but the most important, of course, are as this one in hand, Report from the Iron Mountain on the Possibility and Desirability of Peace. This book was printed in 1967. Sorry to you who demanded I use new material. It was withdrawn from the libraries and public access, just as is planned with the Pleiades Connection series and the Tangled Web series, underway right now, before the third printing could be completed. Well, you ask, couldn't you give us that information like you do other things? You are already in trouble and seem to keep it flowing. Why don't you give it to us? I guess I shall consider that as a request, for I got much inquiry when I mentioned it prior to now. It is certainly appropriate and timely information right now. The first paragraph of the introduction reads, quote, "The report which follows summarizes the results of a 2.5-year study of the broad problems to be anticipated in the event of a general transformation of American society to a condition lacking its most critical current characteristics. Its capability and readiness to make war when doing so is judged necessary or desirable by its political leadership." End quote. I realize you don't want to hear about old stuff, i.e. George Bush and Watergate, but how can you relate to now if you have no understanding of that which went prior to now? I had left off in the story of a million years ago, it seems, with information regarding Chairman George Bush in Watergate. I believe I had only done one writing on the matter. When I changed to include Ray Rennick's more critical and crucial information, especially if you are a West Coast area dweller trying to save assets and property. He outlays the San Luis Obispo connection, and it has all but cost him his life. Support this man, please. As to property, it was noted on the news yesterday evening that Home Fed properties were being auctioned with no minimum bid and that purchasers could get houses, etc., for as little as $1. Funny thing is that Home Fed had a trust deed on this acre property, and yet consideration of a non-minimum with no auctioneer present made the court laugh and throw out the case in point for further consideration. Phew, I simply do not see how you can keep up it flow so quickly and so dankly. At any rate, I shall ask that another short notice from Rennick be inserted here, and then we will do a bit of continuation of the Watergate involvement of your beloved Commander-in-Chief. Would you like me to read?
Yes, I want to introduce him.
All right. Quote.
Note how chicken this man is. Right from the very beginning sentence.
Board of Supervisors, May 19th, 1992. Public comment transcript. My name is Ray Rennick. I live at 1625 Nipomo Avenue, Los Osos. I'm sure you've seen my report, which is a synopsis of half my lifetime of research into government drug trafficking and murder and assassination. There are hundreds of copies of this report, not only in this building, but in this county and in Washington at several congressional investigations which are going on right now. Perhaps you've heard some of the radio broadcasts I did on KVEC Talk Radio, where I covered the same information. I call this report the SLO connection because it connects San Luis Obispo officials with the crimes of drug trafficking, murder, and assassination, and includes the assassination of President John Kennedy, which I described on my January 28th broadcast with Dave Congleton on KVEC, and where I identified on January 14th one of the San Luis Obispo officials as Judge William P. Clark. I am in the process of initiating a lawsuit which will mandate an investigation of this information and these charges. This lawsuit will augment an existing lawsuit filed in Ventura County by Gary Ween, which calls for an investigation of new evidence in the murder of Senator Robert Kennedy and names several prominent Californians. This is an appeal for additional information. information about drug trafficking of high government officials, as well as information about murder and assassination, especially about the Kennedys. Hatton's comment. We wrote in detail about the death and BS given you regarding Robert Kennedy's death. I hope that you will obtain the journal in point and get current, for these people now bringing more and more truth are in need of backup, and it can only come from ones who already know. Stop asking what can I do and start doing it. Get informed, and frankly, the journals and the Liberator are the best resource on your planet at this time, for it will give guidelines as to where to go to get more. This paper in point is called Phoenix Liberator for a very, very good reason. It is patterned after and by the ones who presented the Liberator at Boston, William Lord Garrison, A.D., 1805 through 1879. You ones have some daring historians in your past. Do not let them down now that you can change a world by your simple participation. Also information about the Galen Organization, the Zapata Coal Cattle Company, Eagle's Nest, and the murders of Scott Alexander and Stephen Carr. I live at 1625 Nipomo Avenue in Los Osos. I do not have a telephone, but I will appreciate any information I can get. Thank you.
I guess they know where to find him.
The next item has to do with Mr. Bush.
Let's just leave Bush dangle for a while.
All right, thank you.
I've wrapped this one up with a reprint of kind of a synopsis of the situation with Iraqi Gaiti. Sometimes it takes longer than others for ones to hear the call, to become comfortable enough to share with us. It isn't that there is great doubt there. There is just so much BS going around and being flung here and there, and so much nonsense that there's no way to build credibility instantly without coming into the presence. And yet getting ones to the point of coming into the presence where we can have a communication is a little bit more dreary. I can, you know, thump them on the head with a light beam, and that still doesn't get them where I need them to share on a level wherein we can combine forces in a very human way and get something done and begin to get some credible witnesses to the situation while we weed out a lot of the disinformation presenters. I think that Ray should know that the book going to press right now is dedicated to you. That's for two reasons. I honor you greatly. I would like to welcome you home. And when I write and I do this, you come under my protection. And the rules are they better keep their cotton pickers off you. Doesn't mean it's going to be an easy road. It does mean that there's one more that they better stand back and treat with respect, or they answer now to the higher command. I'd like for you, please, to understand that we have two very interesting people with us. Ray is only one. We have Betty here from Missouri, and she's very, very interesting to listen to and willing to share from an earth standpoint. I don't know. Maybe we will be here at 11:30. That's always my deadline. No matter what time I start, 11:30 is it. Ray, would you stand up, please, and share with us? Just let it hang out. They've heard enough. They know what's coming. And then you're going to tell us what we can do to help.
Frankly, I'm overwhelmed.
I know. I like it. I get so little respect.
I am amazed that after a lifetime of... After a lifetime of doing parallel studies to your studies, I'm amazed that I've made so few errors. And maybe I should start telling you people some things that may affect you right here. I have a very good friend who is in the hazardous materials team at Camp San Luis, California Specialized Training Institute. In fact, this man is the man who worked for 20 years. He got the Zapruder film out of Canada in 1972, which resulted in our tape, Dallas Revisited. And this man now works for CSTI. He's right in the middle of them. And he's on the hazardous materials team. And he told me last week that they were going to be very, very busy for the next couple weeks. He told me that FEMA announced to them personally that there is an 80% chance of a very large earthquake happening in the next few weeks. We also know some people who work at Vandenberg. When we asked them about the FEMA exercise that was supposed to start on the 23rd, which it did, they were blown away because this was supposed to be top secret, and these people we're running around the streets talking about it. So this really happened. It's really going on right now. Like was mentioned earlier, George Bush's meetings at Camp David has very little to do with Iraq. It's got to do with the war in the streets of the United States. I've worked with the Kennedy assassination since the day it happened. Not too many people know this, but very late the same night, the Zapruder film was shown uncut in its entirety very early in the morning on November 23rd, actually, it would be the day after the 22nd. And I saw that film. I have to admit, I did not see Greer turn around and shoot John Kennedy. But from seeing the reaction of the president to the gunshot and from hearing the other information, I deduced that the shot came from the front seat of the car, from the Secret Service agent, the only place it could have come from. I thought it was Kellerman, the man on the right, until I saw Terry's tape about 4 or 5 years ago, which shows Greer. We took this film to Bo Greitz on May 14th, I believe it was, 1988. And I think we literally blew Bo out of the chair. He was amazed.
Well, he's getting a little bit wishy-washy about it now because he's been with a group that have pointed out that it could not have been.
Right.
And so we have to understand that everyone is working from a very human standpoint, and information that you're going to deal with must be handled from a human standpoint, always. There'll always be proof. There'll always be clues. Go ahead, please.
We were working with a man who has very dubious past, and I think he's become a CIA stooge. And he reversed his whole position on the Kennedy thing and went on the air and did all kinds of things trying to convince the world that Greer did not shoot Kennedy. I think somebody leaned on him. Then he alternated again. He said, then he went on Inside Edition on NBC, I believe it was, on a program where he said Greer did shoot Kennedy. He reversed himself again. Well, what he was doing was he was setting himself up for the self-styled expert, Bob Groden, to come on after him. Bob Groden is not an expert. He's not a photography expert. I think he blackmailed Congress into putting him in charge of the Zapruder film. Bob Groden came on after this Lars Hansen is the man's name, And he debunked him and ridiculed him and everything, made him look bad. It was all an act. And anybody that knows what's going on could see through it. Is there anyone here have any other questions about the Kennedy thing? Or
please speak up, because you have a tremendously good opportunity here to share. And there are always questions, and it's a little bit hard for him. He is a bit overwhelmed, and of course he was not expecting to have to get up here and do this. And as the questions flow a little bit, he'll get more comfortable with it, and we can find out then where we are headed and how we can function.
On the Robert Kennedy, we were watching that a short time ago, a news item on that, or a documentary on it, and in one spot there was a mention of a Greer being there. Now, as a security guard or something. Right?
They walked you through that assassination of Robert Kennedy, and there was the name of a Greer that was mentioned as a security guard that was there on the scene at the time Robert Kennedy was assassinated in that kitchen.
Yes, that's who it was. Yes, it was Roosevelt Greer, the football player, I believe he was there. It's the same name, but I think it's spelled with an I instead of two E's. The security guard's name was Thane Eugene Caesar, and he was walking on the right of Robert Kennedy, slightly behind him, and he put three bullets into Robert Kennedy. Sirhan shot eight bullets, which makes for a total of 11. There are evidence of 11 bullets in the ceiling, the woodwork, and the other innocent bystanders. None of Sirhan's bullets struck Robert Kennedy. The commission that investigated the murder said that all three bullets matched, the ballistics matched. What they meant were all three bullets matched each other. They did not match Sirhan's gun. They came from Thane Eugene Caesar's gun. If you know anything about weapons, you can make a weapon in many different calibers. And most security guards carry .38 specials. And this Smith & Wesson was chambered for a .22 for that special day. So it would match the caliber of Sirhan's gun. But the man's name who really killed Robert Kennedy from 1 inch behind the ear was Thane Eugene Caesar. And this, you can get this in fact, the name of it is The Tangled Web also, and it's by Duncan Hart, I believe. It was copyrighted in 1977. It is a good inquiry into the death of Robert Kennedy. Discovered some years ago, well, not too many years ago, just recently, that San Luis Obispo County was very much into these assassinations. And the way I discovered it was I was reading a letter from Ray Ellen Rusbacher, and she was telling about Günter Rusbacher's name was changed when he came from Austria. He came with the paperclip Nazis. But since he was only 3 years old at the time, he probably wasn't a Nazi. In Austria, after the war, everyone with a von in front of their name had to drop the von and add an ER on the end of it. So von Rusbach became Rusbacher. Likewise, Judge William P. Clark, when he was with Army CIC in Austria and northern Italy, negotiating the transfer of all the Nazi scientists and the German scientists, people from the Abwehr and Foreign Armies East, and they worked. It was an Operation Sunrise, which many of the SS and Gestapo people were exfiltrated out of Germany through the Vatican, and most of them went to South America. While he was there, Judge William P. Clark was with Army CIC along with Alan Dulles of the OSS and the CIA, and Wild Bill Donovan, and J. Edgar Hoover was involved. And while he was there, he married an Austrian lady named Joan Bronner. Now, if you take the ER off of Bronner and put a von in front of it, it comes out von Braun. Well, it hit me like a ton of bricks that she must be related. So I got a little research into that and found out. At first I thought it was his daughter, but it turns out it was Wernher von Braun's niece. Wernher von Braun was the top dog of all the scientists that came to this country. Wernher von Braun was brought to this country as a hero. In fact, there are high schools named after him all over the country. His good friend, Walter Dornberger, was sentenced to be hanged for atrocities. I don't know if he did or not, but at Nuremberg. And von Braun said he wouldn't come to America and work on our space program unless Dornberger came with him. Okay, Dornberger was pretty well known, pretty notorious at the time, so he went to Bell Helicopter. Now, there's a paper called the Torbett Document, which is a bit of disinformation, but the information that's in it, 90% of it is excellent. Bell Helicopter was deeply involved in the Kennedy assassination. They provided Lee Harvey Oswald with a job in the book depository, and Ruth Payne, who worked for Bell Helicopter, took Marina Oswald into her home, and these people had very high security clearances. Now, what are they doing with a communist communist defector? Anyhow, to get back to the point of the story, the von Brauns and Dornbergers both have very close connections to San Luis Obispo County, specifically to Judge William P. Clark, who has a big ranch out in Shandon. I believe that the Shandon ranch is sort of the American West Coast headquarters of the secret government, the people that run the world, the Committee of 300 or the Club of Rome or the Bilderbergers, or they have so many different names it gets confusing, and that's what's supposed to be confusing. Let's see.
While you're talking about Bell, let's look at, always you've got to remember to generalize and attach everything to everything. Hold this kind of information in your head when you get other pieces of information. What just happened on the Potomac? You had a plane absolutely stop functioning. Everything went dead on it. It fell into the water. And it was one of the major projects of who?
Bell.
These ones are at each other all the time. Now that should tell you something else. Who would want to damage Bell Helicopter and a little place called Boeing or Lockheed or Northrop? Or, you know, when you start talking about ones already in the elite loop, you can begin to put two and two together as to who probably did not take them out or take it out. It was so obvious that even the news had to make note of it, because the information was going to scatter around. That plane stopped functioning. Everything on it stopped. It fell. And one saw a light flash with no explosion. That can only be a beam. And that probably came from a long way out. And it was no accident. And yet, if you don't know a little bit about this history, it doesn't mean anything to you. An osprey, what is that? Sounds like a bird to me. Well, it is. It's a vertical takeoff aircraft. Extremely expensive. And it's never worked well. And there is a battle going on right now to junk it. So a lot of reasons they would choose that particular one to retaliate for you pulling one down in Soviet Georgia. You see, you've gotten pretty good with these little laser systems, but they're going to do you in. Go on, please. I always interrupt. I can't help myself.
To add to your comments on the Osprey, about 5 years ago, I was standing under the wing of one. I know some people who worked at Ames Laboratories up at Moffett Field in San Jose, and I went on a tour, and I saw the plane. It is a weird-looking aircraft. And
Moffett Field is a weird place, too.
Yes, they had a U-2 parked out there also. Where am I? San Luis County. Boy, it's all the the whole county, the sheriff's department, the judges, everybody are connected to the Galen organization. Now, I call it the Galen organization. I don't know if everyone else does, because the people that came from Germany after World War II, it was negotiated by Reinhard Galen of the Abwehr, not of the Abwehr. He was of foreign army chiefs. They were kind of at odds with the Abwehr. The Abwehr was mostly Admiral Wilhelm Carneris, who was behind the plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler, and he was hanged for it. Getting on to San Luis, I also believe that that Judge William Clark had a lot to do with the destruction of the Korean Airlines 007. He was head of the National Security Agency at the time. He was Ronald Reagan's National Security Advisor. The whole thing was planned by the National Security Agency. Now, my father was 85 years old when he died in 1985. He was born in 1899, and he was just about blind, and he read a newspaper with a magnifying glass, and the Korean airliner went down in 83. And when I visited him in 85, just before he died, he was telling me about 007. I wasn't really all that interested at the time. I absorbed some of it, and he said it couldn't have happened the way they said it did. So it kept turning over in my mind for years, and I came up with a scenario of how they switched the aircraft. It's written in there. I don't know how accurate it is.
Pretty accurate. Pretty well done. There's one conclusion incorrect, and that is that it was crashed with all aboard on it. No. Most of those ones, that plane was brought down before it was destroyed, and the passengers and crew removed. They are now incarcerated in various and sundry places in the Soviet Union.
Okay, well, the plane could have, in the scenario I wrote, the plane could have landed at the time it was switched for the RC-135s on Kamchatka. I think not Sakhalin, but what?
Was Larry McDonald involved in that?
Yes, Larry. There's an interesting book. It's called Vicky. It was about Vicky Morgan. I don't know if you know. Remember the death of Vicky Morgan? Vicky Morgan was a model, and she was the private mistress of Alfred Bloomingdale.
Isn't this fun? This is really good, isn't it? You thought it was Dullville around Earth.
We're getting into the little risque parts now. Alfred Bloomingdale was into kinky sex and S&M and all these fancy things. And this Vicky Morgan was a beautiful lady, and she was his mistress for 12 years. Well, Alfred Bloomingdale, he is the heir to the Bloomingdale department stores in New York. His wife, Betsy Bloomingdale, was Nancy Reagan's best friend. In fact, in the book, they call her Best Friend Betsy. Best Friend Betsy and Nancy Reagan were the only commoners that were at the banquet, at the ball, at the royal wedding when Diane and Charles were married, and so they were insiders. So in the book, there's a story that as the storyline goes, and it's supposed to be a true story, that Vicky Morgan had videotapes of many high-ranking people in the Reagan administration in bed with her.
And it'll get you in trouble every time, fellow.
And Vicky, in 1983, I think it was the July 1st or 2nd, Vicky Morgan was murdered. The man that murdered him, no one ever could figure out what the motive was for murdering her. He was in and out of psychiatric hospitals. He didn't have a motive. He loved her. He was a homosexual, but he lived with her, and he loved her as a brother. And I don't know if anything was going on, but I read the book, and I was amazed at the book that the prosecutor couldn't come up with a motive, the defense couldn't come up with a motive, the authors of the book couldn't come up with a motive for the death. And I think the motive was called MK Ultra. Now, does anyone know what MK Ultra is? That's the CIA's mind control program that goes way, way back. People's Temple in British Guiana, that was part of MK.
Come on, we just wrote about it.
Right. that was part of mind control. I believe that Sirhan was a victim of mind control. John Hinckley. John Hinckley, who shot at Ronald Reagan. None of his bullets struck Reagan. Reagan was hit from a different angle. Possibly the man who shot John Lennon, Mark David Chapman. Incidentally, I think Mark David Chapman was probably the only assassin in the history of all these famous assassinations that was actually pulled the trigger and hit the person that he was supposed to shoot.
And that was probably an accident.
all the other assassinations were done by someone else, including the Martin Luther King assassination. Getting back to Vicki Morgan, if she had these pornographic tapes, how could murdering her erase the tapes? Murdering her would just make the tapes that much more valuable. For instance, when they had X-rated movies, they used to put Banned in Boston on it, and that would make everybody go see it. So if Vicki Morgan got murdered for these tapes, that would make the tapes that much more desirable. I don't believe she was murdered for the tapes. I believe that she was murdered because she said that she had information that could bring down the Reagan administration. Being that close to the Reagans, she undoubtedly did have information on it. And I think it goes back to the October surprise, because this happened right after the October surprise thing, where Bush and Casey flew to Paris. Bush and Casey flew to Paris, and Bush flew back in the SR-71 with Gunther Rosbacher. Now, I talked to Ray Allen a couple of nights ago on the telephone, and she tells me that, and this is confirmed by a retired Air Force colonel who lives near me, and there are videotapes constantly monitoring the pilot and the navigator on these aircraft. The SR-71 flies at something like 100,000 feet. The temperature is 60 below zero. The body is all titanium. The skin temperature on the SR-71 runs about 1,000 degrees in some places. It is a very dangerous aircraft to fly. You have to be conditioned before and after, like a diver going deep sea diving. Otherwise, you will get side effects like the bends and stuff. So they monitor the pilot and the navigator. The navigator equipment has been taken out of the later SR-71s. They weren't used militarily anymore. They were used as high-speed passenger aircraft to put politicians in places where they weren't supposed to be put. Like, for instance, the SR-71 flew from Paris to New Jersey in 1 hour and 14 minutes across 6 time zones.
Do it faster now.
Yes, I think they have aircraft now that are closer to the speed of light.
Photon thrust, yes.
To diverge a minute, I was at Bo Greit's house on May 14th, 1988, and we went there just to bring him some tapes, the Bruder tape and some tapes of the Christic tapes about drug running with Ali North out of Central America and John Hull's ranch and landing at Homestead Air Force Base. And we were only going to stay about 20 minutes, given the tape. We were there at 9:30 in the morning, but we didn't get out of there until 10:30 that night. I mean, everybody that came in, we had to go through the tapes over and over again. But as we were standing out in front of the garage, packing the stuff into the car, we looked up and we saw what appeared to be a rocket going up into the air. It was a very, very dark night. It was no moon. The stars weren't even visible, I don't believe. But this unidentified flying object, which was at the time, to me, looked like a space shuttle going up, except it had no rocket blast behind it. All it had was a huge searchlight shining downward. And it had a bow wave, something like you would see coming off the bow of a boat in the water. And the bow wave was kind of grayish-green luminescent. And you could see the shape of this craft, and the only and there was no propulsion device except this real brilliant light at the back of it. And I have since deduced that it was a trans-atmospheric vehicle, and it was one of ours, and it was taking off from the middle of the Mojave Desert. And where it was going, I don't know. Maybe it was transferring some of the gold to the... I don't know. But anyhow, we didn't know what it was at the time. Getting back to the SR-71, the videotapes, the cameras that tape the pilot and the navigator, according to Ray Allen, show Bush and Russ Bacher in the same aircraft. These are transmitted via satellite, these tapes. They have the latitude, longitude, and the time and date on them. So I think this is Bush's smoking gun.
Well, Gunther's still alive.
Pardon?
Gunther's still alive, and that's
by
whatever name he's using right now.
He's supposedly in a prison in Fulton, Missouri. I don't know if he is.
Well, he gets around. They don't keep him in very much. He's an extremely talented pilot, and he's been utilized a lot of the newer equipment. He flew Bush to Moscow to meet with Gorbachev right at the beginning of the Iraqi war.
Yes, he was. He was left out for about 2 weeks, I guess, and they went up. They went off an air base in Nebraska, I believe, where the Looking Glass Command is, and I don't know where they went from there. But I don't believe that Gunther Rusbacher is a prisoner. I believe he's kept in there as a ace in the hole, or keep him quiet, or keep him monitored, or something. You had a question, sir?
You mentioned Looking Glass Commando.
Looking Glass Command. I get the air bases mixed up. I think it's off, and the Looking Glass Command is a deep underground control system for the Strategic Air Command. I don't know if it's still operational or not.
Near Omaha.
It's in Omaha.
A lot of that is now worked out as a joint venture and shared with the Russians.
Yes, ma'am. Well, yes?
Could you repeat the question, see if we won't get it on the tape?
The question was, is this a man-made earthquake? According to what I've read in the Liberator, that yes, there are ADMs. I remember hearing many years ago that the Panama Canal being obsolete is why we gave it to Panama, because none of the bigger ships will go through it. And they planned on putting a new canal through Nicaragua. Well, back around in the early 1900s, Teddy Roosevelt, who was responsible for obtaining the property by dubious means for the Panama Canal, they tried to get it to go through Nicaragua because this is the most practical place. It's got less mountains. It has a river that goes most of the way through, even though it's wider at that point in Central America. There's a huge river that goes through it. It goes to Lake Nicaragua. And they only have to make a canal that go from Lake Nicaragua to the Pacific Ocean, which is 30 miles. Well, the Russians and the Japanese both sent engineers down to Nicaragua to see if they could build this canal. Well, I have a friend that says the Panama Canal could not be built today because of the labor problems and everything else. Well, the Russians and the Japanese found out that it was just economically not feasible. Well, the Americans said, well, we can build it. All we'll do is we'll put 30 miles of ADMs, atomic demolitions, 250 million tons of TNT equivalent in a line 30 miles long. It's called a synergism or synergistic explosion. They all have to be lit off at the same time, because if you don't do it, you'll just have a mess. They have to all be fired off at the same time. It'll blast a perfect canal 30 miles long, wide enough for aircraft carriers and supertankers to pass each other in opposite directions. Now, Central America is an earthquake-prone area. Now, can you imagine what 250 million tons equivalent of TNT is going to do in an earthquake-prone area? We would probably have a lot of protest on it. This is what California Specialized Training Institute was originally designed to do, is to oppose and take care of protesters. I'll get into that a little later, but getting back to the ADMs, I talked to a lady from Southern California. She was out near Yucca Valley, and she was telling me that the earthquakes in Yucca Valley were probably triggered by underground explosions from the atomic testing in Nevada. Well, she was probably partially right, and maybe they were triggered by deliberately planted ADMs. So, date and when my friend at CSTI tells me that there's an 80% chance of a major, major earthquake happening within a couple of weeks, and they're on alert. I don't know how many army bases and stuff are on alert, but I know Vandenberg and CSTI, I know personally that they're on alert. It looks to me, if you can make an 80% prediction in a matter of weeks, I think you could probably make a 100% prediction if you got your finger on the button.
What's the purpose of them doing that?
To create a major disaster so George Bush can initiate martial law. The Federal Emergency Management Agency canceled the elections and go on as King George. Because the way it's going now, King George is on his way out.
You may have an idea where the epicenter will be, or in that same area?
Well, the Palmdale area is 3 feet off. The land has risen 3 feet in the last number of years. The geological survey, I guess it is, has spent $40 million on a park field, a place in San Luis Obispo, which is supposed to be an epicenter for the San Andreas Fault. It has been very quiet. It's way overdue. The reason they chose park field is that all through history, it's had an earthquake every 22 years, like clockwork. Well, now it's about 6 or 8 years behind schedule. The last one didn't happen on schedule. So there should be a lot of forces built up there.
Well, you can hide a lot of things, too. You can do all this damage, and then the press comes out and says, well, it was way behind schedule anyway. So once again, your elite can take control through, quote, act of God, and no one's the wiser. The problem is a lot of ones are getting the wiser and they get caught between the rock and the hard place. Enough know what their schemings are that if they go ahead and pull it off, they're caught. If they don't pull it off, they suffer the consequences and Bush is in trouble. I mean, he cannot continue to go without a national emergency of some kind. He's got to have a war. He's got to get control. You see, it's not the presidency that he cares about. It's United Nations control. And you can tell by the way it's being handled right now through the United Nations that that's exactly what's already happened. You talk about sending the United States troops, and everything is talked about in terms of the United States going into Iraq. And yet it's thrust off on the United Nations. So you have to know you already function under the United Nations charter and set of regulations, and no longer under your constitution at any rate. So you just have a de facto constitution.
In the Iraq war, all the aircraft and tanks had to have all the U.S. insignias painted out on them.
Just like all the communist ones that have just come into the United States had to have those painted or blotched out to serve over here. Oh, this is one hell of a FEMA operation, I'll tell you. I wish you could see from my vantage point. Why don't you learn?
I don't think that a sequel to the Iraq War will play for George Bush. I think he's going to have something much more dramatic, like something like half of California falling off into the ocean would be a little
bit dramatic. I'm afraid you're right, yes.
And I've got some dates of the 28th, I don't know. This will be all controlled right from FEMA, right from the inside. Let's see, where am I? Still talking about San Luis County. The Zapata Cattle Company. I have friends who are truck drivers. One man told me that he